Well, as we've been going through our series, looking at the fruits of the Spirit, I thought it'd be a good reminder for us to think back to Steve's very first sermon and to know that these fruits or fruit of the Spirit is a single package deal. Steve taught us that we don't grow more in one than the other, but they grow simultaneously. We also learned that the picture that is in Galatians for us is that we are to walk by the Spirit or to keep in step with the Spirit. And what that means essentially is that we are marching in step with the Spirit of God. And so the picture for us is that we are taking one faithful step in front of the other. It's not a sprint. It's not leaps and bounds. It's one foot before the other. In faithfulness to God. And so, like all the other fruits of the Spirit, this is an inner virtue. It's a character trait. It is a character trait that is produced in Christians by the Spirit of God. In order for us to fully understand what faithfulness is tonight, like all the other fruits of the Spirit, we're going to turn our eyes to God and the character of God. The idea of God being faithful is inherent with his very nature. God would cease to be God if he was not a faithful God. In the Bible, faithfulness contains two aspects. The first aspect to God's faithfulness is tied to what we call his veracity, the veracity of God. And that simply means that when God speaks, he speaks the truth. God is not a God who can lie. So as we read in our New Testament reading this evening, it says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God's ability to be faithful to the hope of eternal life that he promised to us in his word directly hinges upon the fact that God cannot lie. To put it another way, he is as he thinks and he speaks as he thinks. He is and thinks as he speaks. He cannot speak contrary to his nature. He is a God of truth. He cannot lie. If God could lie, his word could not be true. If his word could not be true, then his promises aren't always true. If God's promises aren't always true, then God would no longer be bound to keep them, and God could potentially be unfaithful. But praise God, this is not true. In Romans 3, it says, much in every way to begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. They were given the word of God. They were given the promises of God, the promise of a Messiah who would die for their sins. And so Paul raises a question. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though every man a liar. You see, we are the liars. We are the ones who don't speak the truth. But God is not like us. God always, always tells the truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. The idea of God's truthfulness, especially in the Old Testament, can be translated, well, the word faithfulness can be translated as truth. We see this in Exodus 34. It says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and, depending on the translation you have, faithfulness or truth. The two are not mutually exclusive. God is a God of truth. In Psalm 119, it says, "The sum of God's word is truth." Jesus said in John 17 that God's word is truth. God's promises can be trusted in, relied upon, and hoped in because God's word is true. We as human beings are not known as truth tellers, and I can confidently say that everyone in this room tonight has lied. I know I have. Not only that, but our words don't carry any weight to them. We make promises that we do not keep. We make vows that we break. Our words hold no value at times. And this is something that's been personally convicting for me. The amount of times I can't count that I had made promises that I didn't keep. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She will tell you. Ask all the wives. But God is totally opposite to us. He is totally truthful. And so this brings us to our second aspect of God's faithfulness, which is not totally disconnected from the first. They overlap and they're linked together. And the second is that God is personally reliable. So it's not only that God is totally truthful, but is also extremely reliable. When God speaks a promise, whether of salvation or judgment, he always fulfills his word. God is totally reliable and dependable to his word. What he says he will do and what he does, he says. He's totally consistent with himself. 2 Timothy shows us this. It says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful." Why? For he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his nature. God is faithful to himself and to his word. And what is true of God's faithfulness is that God is adamant about keeping his word. When he says he's going to do something, he cannot lie, he will do it. In Psalm 89, this is amazing. Listen to how God speaks. "But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once for all I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David." God refuses to go back on his word. God is totally dependable because he always speaks the truth, and when he makes a promise, he delivers on it. Something that we should also pay attention to in the Bible when we see the faithfulness of God come up repeatedly is it's always connected with his steadfast love. Well, almost always, anyway. In Deuteronomy 7:9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." Psalm 89 again says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you." But both the truthfulness and the reliability of God come to us in full display when we look at Jesus. There is no greater display of God's faithfulness than in the person and work of Jesus Christ. God in the Old Testament makes promise after promise, from Genesis that he would send through the seed of a woman to crush the head of the serpent, to Noah, to Abraham, to David. Through the prophets, he promised a Messiah who will deal with the sins of his people. And so when we look to Christ, we see that God made a promise and he fulfills that promise. It all culminated in the person and work of Christ. When we look at Christ, we see how he is faithful in fulfilling the Father's plan. The incarnate Christ was obedient to the Father's will. perfectly keeping all his commands, and ultimately fulfilling the promise of a Savior at the cross. And it was Christ's faithfulness that pushed him to that point of death, bearing the weight of that judgment. But I want us to turn to our Bibles briefly to Matthew 26. I think in Matthew 26 we see Christ's faithfulness best displayed for us. So in Matthew 26, from verse 36, it reads, "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So you could not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' And again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.' And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, 'Sleep and take your rest later on. See that the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" In this passage, Christ's soul was very sorrowful. He's in anguish. And he cries out to the Father, "If it would be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." The greatest display of faithfulness in Christ, who had every right to stay with the Father in glory, who had emptied himself by taking a form of a servant and partaking in flesh and blood, born in a dirty, smelly manger, laid in a box where they kept animal food, lived an obedient life, fulfilled the Father's will, humbled himself to the point of death, even the death on a cross, in order that he might become to us a merciful and faithful high priest, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. People who are liars, people who are not faithful, people who do not speak the truth, who do not keep their word. "Not my will, but yours be done." He humbled himself. You see, faithfulness is best displayed to us in the time which is most difficult. That's what faithfulness is. It is keeping your word, being obedient to your promise to God and to others in times when it is most difficult. That is when our faithfulness is most tested. So faithfulness is when we give people our word and we keep our word regardless of the difficulty. Now that we have defined what faithfulness is, I thought it might be good to look at what it is not, or how we can get it wrong. In today's postmodern relativistic society, we don't believe in absolute truth anymore. I have my truth. You have your truth. Truth is heavily based on how we feel about a particular situation at any given time. We may feel something at the present time, but later on down the track, our feelings change. We think differently. Truth is not absolute. It changes. And so, the way we think about truth changes, and ultimately our position changes, because truth is fluid, and our words no longer carry any weight to them. So faithfulness becomes optional. This is far from the truth, which is true. Another fact of unfaithfulness is being faithful before men, but unfaithful in our hearts or when we're alone. Faithfulness to God is a virtue that always manifests itself not only before men, but at all times. There is something in us that often causes us to relax when we're alone, or when we're with people that would otherwise criticize our devotion to Christ. But this is not faithfulness. It's easy to be faithful before men, but we have to be faithful to God and our word, whether it's before men or not. Another misconception of faithfulness is when we are loyal to our family and to those who we get along with. Christ said it's easy to love those who love us. But there are people in our lives that aren't easy to love, who aren't easy to be faithful with, that we avoid because we think it's just too difficult. It's easier to be faithful to those who show us faithfulness. It's easy to love those who love us. But we should be faithful to people regardless of how they treat us or what we receive from them in return. So finally, I want to look at an example of faithfulness. The Bible is not in short supply when it comes to examples of this. But for me, a highlight is Joseph. And I'm sure we're all well acquainted of the story of Joseph. But here is a man who displayed faithfulness consistently throughout his life. Firstly to God, and then to others around him. And this faithfulness was a lifelong virtue displayed by Joseph. Here is a man that was faithful to God no matter the circumstances. He knew that he had to speak the truth and that he had to be true to his word in every respect. He never held back from telling the truth and always kept his word. He was totally consistent with what he believed and what he said. Joseph was faithful with his family, but he was also faithful when he was thousands of kilometers away from them as well. Faithful to the truth that Yahweh, the God of his fathers, was his God. It would be all too easy for Joseph to give into the culture of Egypt and to their false gods. It would have been easy for Joseph to sleep with Potiphar's wife. Who would know? But not for Joseph. He was totally faithful to God. How could he commit this evil and sin in the sight of his God? His faithfulness to his God guided all his decisions, no matter where he was or who he was with. His faithfulness caused him to love those who hated him. He loved his brothers even though they hated him. They had committed the worst kind of betrayal. They betrayed their brother, sold him into slavery, and lied to their father that he then said that he was dead. But after many years of being separated from his family by the providence of God, they reunited. And Joseph, now being the highest ruler in Egypt under Pharaoh, meets his brothers, and even though we might say that he had every right to seek justice for what they did to him, he had every right to hate them in a human sense. In today's day and age, we might say that Joseph had the right to call them dogs, one of the lowest acts you can do to betray your brother. Yet he showed faithfulness towards his brothers, And he sees that through the fact that they may have meant they meant evil against him, God meant it for good. And Joseph shows mercy to his brothers and gives them shelter, food, to him, their children. He was faithful to those who by any human standard didn't deserve the faithfulness that they received, the mercy that they received, the love that they received. To those who are around us, we should be faithful to those who are around us. Not because they inherently deserve our faithfulness, but because we are called to be faithful. We should keep our promise to God, and we should always obey his commands. Joseph was a man who, in the human sense, had every reason to be disloyal to God and to those who wronged him. A man betrayed by his family, who was sold to slavery, dragged to another country, accused of sexual assault, thrown into prison, forgotten for years. Yet this inward virtue of faithfulness was ever present with Joseph. With him was the idea that he must remain faithful to God and to those around him. So faithfulness is being truthful and honest in all things we say and promise, and fulfilling our words even when it might be difficult for us. Faithfulness is persevering virtue worked in us by the Holy Spirit. May God work in us that we may grow in this fruit of the Spirit. Let's pray.